Social impact everywhere.
Welcome back, my fellow social impactors, to another episode of the Social Impactors Podcast. And today we have another special guest for you. We have Dante Carter, who is the founder and CEO of Carter Media Group. Now, Carter Media Group has worked in some very large cases, and one of them has come to be known as Surviving R. Kelly, a case that got worldwide explanation and people know about it. And at first they didn't receive any traction, but they kept working to amplify the voices of the survivors. Now, Carter Media Group works with attorneys in the Ahmaud Arbery case and uses social media to amplify voices that need to be heard. So Dante, I want to start this podcast off by saying a big thank you for being with me here today.
Avery, thank you so much for having me. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, and we had a good chat in the beginning about this, so let's jump right into the first question, which is explaining to the audience now a little bit more about who you are, what you do, and why you believe you truly are a social impactor.
Man, gosh, it's so I started my career in television media. I started at 19 years old. I was a sophomore in college. I got a great opportunity to come in and start editing videos and work my way up to being an anchor. And I also worked as an executive producer. So I did that for 10 years, hit that 10-year mark, and I just kind of wondered, you know, what else is out there? I covered some great stories. We're talking about everything from President Barack Obama being sworn in as the first African-American president to Bill Cosby and his trial. And, you know, I just covered so much. And I wondered, am I making the impact and leaving the legacy behind that would inspire my children? And so I hit that wall, decided I wanted to go over to the Fulton County DA's office. I was the youngest person to ever lead up their PR department, and that's the largest office in the state of Georgia. And so there was a lot that was thrown at me. But I think the point where I kind of asked the question of what else is there for me to do, I was sitting in a courtroom and there were four young teens, ages 14 to 16, sitting on trial for murder. And the victim's mother took the stand. And she said, "My son came to me in a dream. And he said, you've got the wrong men on the stand." And I remember just sitting there, because I'm the PR guy in the office, and you know that's the worst thing that you want to hear come out of a victim's mouth. But the judge issued a mistrial, and I remember sitting back listening to the prosecutor speak, and you know the DA was asking a question of, "Well, did you track the boys' cell phones? Do you know where they were located? Do you have a pinpoint location?" And they hadn't done it before the trial. And when they actually went back and did it, they found out that it couldn't have been those boys. They weren't in the area. And I think that's when my heart just kind of sank. And I just sat back and I said, you know, I've got to do more. I want to be able to help. I want to be able to give these boys a voices before they even get the trial, because this is just uncalled for. And, you know, it just took a lot out of me. And I remember sitting there talking to my wife and saying that, that I felt like I had run my course there and I needed to start my own firm. And she was with me, supported me, and it was beautiful. But you know, as soon as I left, you know, I opened up Carter Media Group, and from there I went on to start representing, you know, it just seemed like so many of these officer involved shooting cases came to me. And and right after that, that's when we ended up with the R. Kelly case. And you know, that's when the real work began.
So I hear you have someone else there with you.
That's
awesome. Say hi to the rest of the family. No, this is what it's all about. This is the authenticity of it. But I wanted to kind of expand on what you talked about. So you talk about legacy, right? And we even heard from your daughter in the background there. Now, yeah. legacy is important, but when you're working on these cases like the R. Kelly case or the Ahmaud Arbery case, or, you know, kind of highlighting these things like with Bill Cosby and stuff, what made you realize that legacy was such an important thing for you to take hold? What really gave you that idea that you need to make this social impact in the world?
You know, it's so crazy, and I don't share this story often, but you know, I grew up in a single parent working class household. I grew up, and when I grew up, I didn't even know who my father was. I didn't find out who my father was until I was a grown man. And I remember sitting there as a young boy and growing up in poverty and just seeing so many of the systemic issues around me. And as my friends were talking about Marvel Comics and all these different things, all I kept wondering is, you know, man, I wish there was a superhero that could rescue kids like me from this environment. And I think, you know, as I got older, so much of that had became about, you know, get a degree, get a job, start making money. And the further I got away from that little voice inside, the more miserable I started to feel. And it wasn't until I started this company and I was able to reconnect with that voice and understanding, hey, like, you know, as a kid, this is what you wanted. You wanted somebody to fight for you. And it was just, it was so funny because so many women from around the world, you know, they would send me messages and they would tweet. They would say, you know, you're our hero. You know, we just appreciate you fighting for our voice. And, you know, it was kind of at that moment where just that little boy from inside of me came back. And it was just so much comfort. And it was kind of so many times where I would read these messages and I would just break down crying because it reminded me of just little Dante and what little Dante desired so much. And I'm grateful that I've been able to reconnect with that voice. And so when you talk about being a social impactor, it's that little voice, it's that little boy inside of me that reminded me what the social impact looked like. It was that little boy that grew up in poverty, you know, that had grown up on welfare, you know, who at one point had been homeless. And, you know, I just remember that one night just sitting on that corner wondering, man, like, you know, does anybody see me, you know? And so when I hear these young women say, you know, you saw us and you were able to bring our voices to life, you know, I think there's as hard as these stories are to hear sometimes, I can hear them because I've walked a similar road. And you know, growing up, I used to hate the experiences that I went through, but those experiences are what God has allowed me to, you know, to really use and to become so successful. And so, you know, I really just strive to stay around those voices. I want to hear them. You know, it was so funny. I got out and all these protests happening around the world. And I remember being in downtown with these young college students. They planned this rally and 20,000 people showed up to peacefully protest for Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, and so many other victims of police brutality. And it really, when I say it just blew me away just seeing that and being able to hear those stories. And, you know, a lot of people ask what makes me so effective. I think it's because I've never taken myself away from those environments. I want to be able to feel that pain so that I can properly articulate those stories in a way that drives change. And, you know, I was telling you about the story with Jimmy Acheson and the fact that we were able to not only have the Atlanta Police Department pulled away from the FBI task force, but the fact that the federal government is now looking at new protocols to place body cameras on all of their FBI agents. And they've attributed it to this case. And I think that's important because that just shows how effectively we were able to tell Jimmy's story, to share the facts of Jimmy's case, but make sure that the world knew that what happened to him was a tragedy, and making sure that that his son and his daughter know that their father didn't just die, but it, like, he birthed change. And I think that's something that I'm inspired about, and it's making sure that you know, that his children knew that, you know, there were fighters that came to their father's aid.
Wow. I mean, first off, thank you for sharing that story in the beginning, because I imagine that's not an easy one to talk about. But you're right that these experiences that we go through, right, and everyone has varying experiences, but when we use these to build a better world or build positive change in the world, we then leave a better legacy for our children, for their children, for their children's children. And I mean, that in this is just my, you know, my humble opinion, but that's really kind of the point of life, is to build a better world for the next generation.
It's true. Very true.
That's why we fight. That's why we do these kind of things, is because we need to continue making positive change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the things that I get so excited about is just being able to make that positive change, being able to make that impact. It's funny. I was talking to my therapist and he said something that really hit me to the core. He said, you know, trauma exists in the absence of justice. And he said, sometimes that pain will leave folks in this dark place for a long time. Other times that pain inspires people to do things that precede or, push them beyond the barriers of their environment. And he said, it just reminds me a lot of you, like you would not be as successful as you are, done the things you've been that you've been able to do had you not had those experiences. And he was like, I don't even know if you realize how much those experiences push you beyond, push you beyond those limits. Because it's funny, because, you know, I was talking to another PR guy and he was like, you know, why do you keep taking these cases that you'll lose? You know, my first thought to him was, you know, who said I was going to lose? You know, what determines a win and a loss? For me, it's about raising awareness. It's about allowing these voices to be heard. And, you know, I don't know who deems a win and a loss, but, you know, as long as those voices can be heard and heard on a scale in which drives change, for me, that's always a win.
Yeah, I like that kind of thinking. Yeah. So let me jump into the next question then.
Okay.
This question's building off of that, and I think this is a really good just building on what we've been talking about already. Because you talk about positive change, you talk about that's what winning is, and it is. But how are you making a positive impact in your community? How are you doing it?
Yeah. So I think the how is the one with you know, I live in Atlanta, and so the fact that we were able to have this body camera situation done in terms of not only on the federal level but also on the city level. So if any police officer isn't wearing a body camera or their body camera isn't turned on, they will be fired right there on the spot. So we made sure that happened. And then on that federal level, we made sure that this was a procedure that we're working to, because we can never know what happened if these tools aren't in place. And so it's very important that these tools are in place. And, you know, I think from there, it's mentoring, right? It's being engaged in the community. And it's, I'm very passionate about making sure, especially young Black men can see me. When I won that international award that I was telling you about, when the show started, from the Communicators Awards, it brought me such joy, because I remember being that young man where it seemed like for everybody around me, what I was able to accomplish was very limited. I came from, again, a single parent home where there just wasn't much that was thought of what I could do. And, you know, so many of my friends played football, they ran track. And those are where African Americans tended to be the most successful in terms of getting out of that environment. And even, you know, here lately, one of my friends said, you know, I thought you were going to be a, you know, football player playing in the NFL somewhere. What does it tell these young kids coming out of poverty when I came out of that environment and I'm able to work at this level and achieve success at this level? And so we talk about the social impact. I don't take my successes as just a win for me. You know, it's a win for my community, and I'm constantly going back and I'm giving back. And I think it's imperative that we do these things, because we are the examples that we want to see. And if it's not us, if we're not in these spaces and these places, you know, I told the folks at my church. They couldn't understand why I was down with the protesters. 2 weeks ago, I was literally at 8 protests in 36 hours. And while the news is covering all these riots, I'm updating my Twitter and my Facebook about the peaceful protests. You know, there were I went to 8 peaceful protests. And the reason why I was there, the reason why I left the comfort of my own home was because I wanted to ensure that they remained peaceful. I knew these kids were out there for great reasons. And I wanted to ensure that that their voices were heard. You know, there were some folks that we had to turn away from the crowd because they were rowdy. But that's what leaders do. Leaders are always looking outside of their world and seeing how they can impact this world. And for me, those are, when you talk about being a social impactor, those are the things that I'm really passionate about, is making that difference. And so, you know, my wife told me I need to sit down because, you know, to date, I've been to 15 protests so far. And she was just like, I need you to go in the room, go to sleep, get away. I mean, she was like, I know you want to help. I know you want to love up on these kids. But she was like, I need to make sure that your battery's recharged as well. And, you know, that's what I love most. You know, the fact that when we go out, knowing that, you know what, like, yeah, there's this part of me that's a business owner, that's a PR strategist. But there's also this part of me that has a deep love for community. There's also this part of me that that even, you know, with whatever resources I have, I want to leave an impact that I know that it's going to open a door for those next Dantes that are coming up behind me.
That's powerful. So let me ask you a question that's going to build on this, but we're going to talk about it from a lens of business now.
Okay.
So this one, I'm curious, because you are a very successful business owner, right? You've done immense things with your talent and amplifying voices that need to be heard. But do you believe this idea or action of social impact is an important part of business?
I do, and I think that when you do it right, it works. And I say that because, like, so the attorney that I worked with on this case. And, you know, it's so crazy, but as we were working on this case, just from a straight numbers perspective, with this case and what we did from a marketing PR standpoint, he ended up getting, I think, 500 new clients last year. And he was just like, yo, like, that was so much more than I had ever done. I think why it blew up the way it did is because we were also able to peel back the layers. People were able to see his heart. They were able to see that this just wasn't the case to him. And they were able to see that he was a person that was after accountability, justice, and transparency. And I think those are the things that are huge. And so when we talk about how does it work in business, I think you have to look at people. It's like the whole concept of the Scrooge story, right? And how the Scrooge was making all this money, but on Christmas Day, he was lonely, being visited by 3 ghosts. You can be a strictly business person and be so disconnected from what's going on socially, but it'll be reflected in your life. You won't have the loving family around you. And so I think the more that your company is socially engaged, I think it's better, right? A friend of mine, he works for a company called Medtronix. They're a $17 billion a year company. And they've issued statements about no longer remaining silent about racism in America. Ben and Jerry's ice cream company, they came out and issued a statement about no longer remaining silent. And I think people are starting to come around and understand that, you know what, although this is business, our voices do matter. You know, people want to know that we care about something other than how well our company is running, what our product looks like. They care about the impact that we're making. But on the flip side is what happens when you have companies that are disengaged from what's going on socially. Well, I think then you have, you know, you have issues like slavery, right? You have issues where there are no checks and balances and people are making money in a very corrupt way. And so I think it's important to note that part of demanding justice and accountability is forcing these companies that make so much of an impact on our life, really making sure that that we hold them accountable with how we spend our money. And I think that's a lot of what you're seeing. And even with the folks that work with me, you know, we've had some of the biggest law firms that have reached out to us, and they're asking the one question of, well, how do we tell stories that are more socially conscious? And they understand that being socially conscious is also, again, good for business. And that's what you're seeing with the protest and the riots around, like, not only people are starting to realize, hey, you know, we've invested all this money in all these different things, but you know what? Our consumer base wants what? They want people who are socially accountable. And so you're starting to see a shift in the business world. And I think that's huge, because the more that shift takes place, not only does it further the message of the greater good, but it does continue to add into the pockets.
So for people listening today, what's your advice for other people to start building their own impact in the world? Right, we've talked about all these questions. We've, you know, went over business, we went over your personal story, what it means to be a social impactor, and what that action looks like. But what is your advice for other people to start building their own impact in the world?
You know, Avery, I think it's, you know, it's even what you're doing, right? It's even with the podcast. I think people, they look at social impact, or they look at the greater good, and they think about these big mountains, right, that they have to move, and they never really simplify it. And I think that the best thing that you can do is simplify it. Really find out what you want to do. You know, for the last 2.5 weeks, there's been this young white kid. I just found out today he's 16 years old, who's been standing in front of my neighborhood by himself with a Black Lives Matter sign. And I went over and talked to him today. And he said, you know, my dad said I couldn't go downtown because, you know, the military had come in and all these things. He said, but I still wanted to help. So I made this corner the place where I stood my ground. And I wanted everybody to know that I stood with Black lives, and that we are working, that I stand behind really making crucial change in the issues of policing. And for me, that was so powerful, because this is a 16-year-old kid, right? He can't go downtown. He can't be where the excitement is. And so he made this spot literally a block away from how his house, his standing ground. And I think that's what we need to do. What are the ways that we can use our talents to really better humanity? It doesn't always have to be something big and over the top. It can be something very simple. Him holding up that sign every day, that's the sign that I saw every day for 2 weeks. And that was inspiring me and encouraging me, because it reminded me that despite everything that's going on in the news, somebody cares. And that person, one of those people that cares, right there at the entrance of my neighborhood. And to me, that encouraged me and inspired me. And so even with your podcast, just being able to listen to so many stories, you are fueling, you're encouraging, you're inspiring, and you're motivating us to do more than sometimes what we can see possible. And so I appreciate that. And I think it's, you know, at the end of the day, I think the message is all about, hey, what can I do myself? And figure out the things that you love to do. Don't look at me. Don't look at everybody. Figure out what you want to do and go ahead and step into that space.
Yeah. I think that's the one thing that I love about building sustainable or building positive change in the world, is there are so many different ways or avenues you can take to make a change, right? They don't have to all look the same. You can do one small thing that might not seem impactful that has a huge amplification, right? You can be a part of a protest, or you can change policy. You can be a leader in your community. You can amplify voices. The more that we do in different avenues, the more change we make.
Yeah, it's so true. It is so true. And that's what I love about your show, to be honest. I really do. And I hope you can be really encouraged and inspired by what you're able to do with it. Because, I mean, as I just kind of sat back and listened to so many different people, I was blown away about how intentional you were about the questions you asked. And it really brought so much out of people. And so the fact that you can have people who are successful in a business sense, but also driving social change, is powerful. And so I want to commend you for what you've been doing.
Thank you. No, that does mean a lot. And I mean, the purpose of this podcast and the reason it's so fluid and I ask very objective questions is because there are so many people out there building social impact. We might not hear about them. They might not be in the news all the time, but there are so many people out there doing good things in the world.
Oh, so true.
Yeah. So Dante, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I appreciate that, and I appreciate you, and that's kind of what I was saying. Just, I have a lot of respect for what you're doing here. So thank you.
Thank you. So Dante, I just wanted to end the podcast by kind of just reiterating what you said. Again, thank you for being here with me today as well. You come from a very unique lens and also a lens of success. And you've shown that social impact can align with making money. And again, I just want to say thank you for being with me here today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.